Hey, everybody. Welcome back to VGP, guys. It is April. We are here. We are here for another episode. Guys, there's been some news that has happened. Not crazy amount of news.
Or all April Fool's jokes?
Mostly April Fool's jokes. I got fooled.
I know. I'm paranoid on April Fool's. I don't know about you guys, but anything I read.
I got God.
Tim got. He like texted the group to like get everyone pumped, and then Clay was like, Clay actually, I think, fell for it for a hot minute.
No, I think he fell for it until the next day.
It was until the next day when he started scouring the internet and couldn't find anything.
He's just like, where is it? Where'd you get this information?
to be fair, it was very convincing. Whoever made the artwork, it looked like something that would have been dropped by like Capcom.
Oh yeah.
That, and it lines up with everything they've been doing lately, just like remaking all the old Resident Evil games.
Yeah, so there
it absolutely made sense.
Yeah, there was a image that leaked online
I didn't look at it, Tim, until the next day when I woke up. And I was like, what are these boys talking about? And I saw it, and I was like, there's no way. It's April Fool's Day. Gaming is that's the worst day of gaming for news. Because it's like, you can't trust anything. People are always putting out shit that everyone's like excited for.
There was a Hayao Miyazaki Legend of Zelda thing going on, and I'm going, this is painful. It's painful, because all these things you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't exist. But yeah, did you guys see any other April Fool's jokes that got you? I know that there was the IGN put the one out with the Nintendo Switch and the there were some other ones. But did you get got on any other one?
That was the best one I've seen.
I didn't even see that. What was that one? I stay away from like social media for on April Fool's just for that reason.
It was like
broken.
Yeah, it was a Nintendo Switch VR thing.
The Virtual Boy. I did see that. It's like they finally Nintendo's done it. They've announced the Virtual Boy 2.
It was, and you attach it to your face.
I knew that was fake because everyone hates the Virtual Boy. It's like probably the least popular Nintendo system ever be created.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, Bill, and this goes to Bill, not and Maze also. Maze, you're gonna just look at me and roll your eyes. If somebody offered me a Virtual Boy, I probably would take it.
Oh, me too.
I mean, it's a piece of gaming history. I take it.
Yeah, it's video game history.
Would you use it?
Probably three times, and then I probably would move on
for like 5 minutes until you get like a splitting headache.
Yeah, it's the same thing of.
I don't want to say like the Virtual Boy, like it was a terrible console. They quickly realized it with how headache inducing it was, but that's not to say I wouldn't take it if someone offered it to me.
I would buy it if it was a reasonable price.
It's a piece of Nintendo history that it would just be something cool to have, like even if you just put it like on a shelf and just like have it as like displayed.
No, I love that sometimes people just give games to people when they know like they're old shit, and to people like us it means a lot more. Tim, I want to shout out to Tim, your buddy Jimmy, gave me Final Fantasy VII, the original on PlayStation. Like,
oh, he did give you the PlayStation version,
and I was like, you know what, this is a piece of gaming history. It's probably arguably the best one of the best PlayStation games of all time. And I'm happy to own it because it's like I have that. And now I also have the new Final Fantasy. So
what a guy. What a guy, Jimbo.
Twisted Metal. He gave me Twisted Metal, too.
Oh, see, those are two gem. Amazing games.
That was the real gem.
Yeah.
Real gem right there.
The sweet too.
I was going to say, you know what I did get on this past weekend that I did stock up on is Game Pass. I saw they had like a 20%.
Oh, the Target.
I thought that was an Easter Sunday thing. Yeah,
the $39.99 deal.
Yeah,
I think it's still live. So if people are listening, go get that shit.
Yeah, I got 9 months. So I was like, I'll stock up for the year. Also, though, I forgot to count. What? $120. 9 months.
Okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I buy it usually always on discount. And additionally, too, I forgot to cancel my Ubisoft Plus account.
Oh,
so.
Got you again. No, yeah. That's what got you on
isn't
April Fool's
Day. This
the
second
day,
time?
When they charged
this
your card
the second
April
time. 1st. This is the second time. So this is how they got me. They got me, Maze.
April 1st, they yanked that money wallet.
Tim, I'm going to give you a recommendation. I recommend you just put a reminder on your phone to cancel it.
I did. I put a reminder on my phone, but they charged me the day before the reminder came on.
You do
because I got
you can cancel it and then you could still use
do
that.
Bill, right, that's now what I'm going to do. I'm just lazy, dude.
I'm just gonna say it now. Let's just call it what it is.
Let's do it live on the show. Let's just
call it what it is. He doesn't want do it. If you don't really want it, cancel it right now. Do it right here, right now.
Yeah, do it right here. No, I'll cancel after the show. Also,
Bill, he wants
part
to keep
of me.
It.
Part He's of me's tempted. There might be a game or two on there.
Keep
Who
it.
Knows?
Keep it. Tim, you know what? You know what? It hurts no one, benefits everyone.
It helps the economy. So with this being said, guys, there isn't really too much news we can tackle this week. There's some new items from adding to Helldivers 2 Maze. I don't know if you saw that. We could touch upon that. Outside of that, there's really kind of no really kind of big news that we can tackle, and maybe we kind of go back and kind of talk about the year as a whole and kind of what we're expecting out of this year, because the biggest news that I'm seeing is that Triangle Stars, so it's a game by Star Fox's artists, is coming out this summer, so that's really kind of cool. But right now the ad is in Japanese, but it's essentially made by the Star Fox guys. That's coming out on Switch this summer, so I guess that's news. There's some items from Helldivers 2 that are coming out. And then since we've talked last, I think last week we touched upon how Rise of Ronin kind of just did okay. It's kind of sitting at the middle. And, you know, we've also heard some rumors on some other things. But for the most part, that's pretty much it. Unless there's anything you guys else want to talk about. My last piece of news that I kind of want to capture regarding kind of some games that we care about is Dragon Dogma 2 is selling absolutely bonkers. So this game has already sold 2.5 million units. So those microtransactions mean nothing. That game is absolutely crushing it. And additionally too, because here's the thing, there's certain games that we hear about, but this past week is so filled with things that we don't know of true, but they might be true. Because for instance, the Like a Dragon people came out yesterday and said they're holding auditions for the next Like a Dragon game, and that Kiwami 3, you know, could be happening soon. But once again, that news was on April 1st. So I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true. So
I have PTSD from April Fools every year.
Exactly. Going off of what Maze says, we have PTSD. And then my
you know
last
the real smart thing to do, just throwing it out there, spitballing, is for a company to actually release something that's so wildly improbable on April
like 4th, the Sonic is, like the Sonic Detective game last year.
Yeah, exactly. But like do something like do that, like, and just like throw us for a spin when it actually turns out to be real. It's like, oh, you thought we were kidding? Nah.
New Kingdom Hearts game for you.
You know what would be great? You know what would be absolutely fantastic? If Nintendo like announced on April Fools we're bringing back Golden Sun and Build It and Believe It.
Or Mother 3.
Well, I will say
even better if they announced Federation Force 2 and you thought it was April Fool's and then 6 months later it comes out.
I will say this. I'm looking through my texts about last week's show and I'm trying to get the date right, because you know what we didn't talk about last week was two giant things that came out after we recorded last week. So this week, light on news. Last week, there's two kind of major things that I think that we kind of missed. Once again, one being, and then the third being really bad news. I think Ubisoft laid off about 45 people. It's just the industry. It's horrible. But Take-Two acquired Borderlands Gearbox for $460 million. That was huge. Yeah. And why? How did my brain miss this? So let's dive into...
happened like right after we finished?
Yeah, literally right after we finished. So guys, what do you guys think of this?
My first initial thought was like good for Embracer Group for Gearbox for getting their the big game back and making it their own. It'll be interesting to see if the Borderlands franchise can rebound. I feel like the general conversation that we had off like air was that, you know, two was like the pinnacle. Three, we came back in. There was some spin-offs in between. We forgot there was like, we didn't talk about it, but there
the
was
the pre-sequel.
There was the pre-sequel, that Moon Base 1 kind of thing. There was the Tiny Tina adventure kind of thing. There was the Tales of the Borderlands kind of thing.
Oh, going on. Damn. Yeah. Yeah. You're picking some deep ones.
So, dude. I mean, these are all things that just didn't click with the masses, like Borderlands 2. I'm sure there was audience out there and critics actually gave them all pretty decent reviews. But it didn't feel as tight and as polished as that second game. And like that for me, that game is like I played 3 and I wasn't enamored with it. Like I felt like a lot of the jokes fell hard. I don't know. What was your opinions on that? I think they have like a hill to climb here if they're going to bring this franchise back into the masses. So
thoughts. I mean, do we think this will be the turning point for the series again? Because like you said, since 1 and 2, it hasn't been the same. Those were the pinnacle of the franchise. I did play 3 in its entirety. Wasn't that great. It was okay at best. Didn't really do anything for me.
I think I think the formula was like done again. It was like just expanded on what they currently had or they had in 2. 2 felt very fresh, right? 3,
I mean, they didn't do anything. You're right. They didn't really expand upon the combat. They didn't expand upon the format. It was still the same thing. You run around, you complete some missions, you do some side quests, you collect loot, you get better weapons, you pick your play style, and you go from there. And then the story was just absolute garbage.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think the problem with the third one is the third. So I've officially played all of them. I beat the pre-sequel. Did you ever finish
the third one?
Yeah, I haven't beaten the third one, but I've beaten the pre-sequel. I've beaten 1, I've beaten 2, I've gotten halfway through 3, and I've beaten Tiny Tina's.
I didn't play the pre-sequel or Tiny Tina's, but I played 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I liked them all. I think they kind of turned into, towards the end, Billy, and this sounds wrong, a similar feeling that I got towards Assassin's Creed. With the pre-sequel and with Tiny Tina,
they're just pumping them out, and it's
and it's not like they're pumping them out, but it's more of less. I know it wasn't surprising. There was no shock factor. You get the game, and you're going, okay, I know exactly what this is.
I mean, it needs a turning point like Assassin's Creed had, where they went to that open world. I'm not saying that they need to do something that drastic, where they change the whole formula for Borderlands, but they need something that's going to make it fresh again, like they did with Assassin's Creed when they went to a more Western style RPG.
Yeah,
because right now it's just stale. It's literally stale.
Well, I think the thing with the first one was it didn't really have you could correct me if I'm wrong. The story is kind of non-existent. I really couldn't tell you. It's like get to Pandora's whatever.
It was very mediocre at best. But what made it was the characters. Like the characters were insane. The writing was fantastic. Like the story is like I could have done without it, but it was just the characters themselves that made it. And then you have villains like Handsome Jack, which were just,
but that was in the second one.
Yeah, but I'm
so Handsome Jack appeared in Borderlands yes. 2.
Did he die?
But it was a character.
Yeah, he. Spoiler alert. No, yeah, he.
I mean, it's old. Yeah,
10-year-old game. Spoilers. No, but let me finish this maze real quick, and I want to hear your guys' take on this. I thought Borderlands 3, the story was ass.
No, it was.
I'm usually kind of that story's not very good. You know, that story, the bad guys in that game were the most annoying bad guy. It wasn't funny. They were annoying, and you're playing this game going, I just don't like these characters. Like the bad guys are just annoying. You're going from planet to planet, and it didn't feel great. And I think that additionally too, I'm going to be honest. I think that we had already seen it. It felt like a giant like DLC for Borderlands 2. It felt just like more Borderlands 2 with a bad story and new characters. I think Tiny Tina, now I'll say this is a hot take. I enjoy my time with Tiny Tina over Borderlands 3 because Tiny Tina's was something different. It was in a fantasy world, and then you drop back and the interworld is like almost like a Final Fantasy-esque kind of thing where you're going from level to level and you kind of this overworld, and it looks, you know, it's like an overworld map and you're kind of walking around. So there's like two areas. It was very cool, and it kind of stretched the imagination versus Borderlands 3 wasn't great. Now, I'm just going to say this, and Maze, I want to hear your take and Billy's take on this. I think the thing that we kind of forget is Gearbox outside of Borderlands is very hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, and people can get mad, but I think that 2K bought these guys to get the Borderlands brand back. They originally published Borderlands. We get that. But you look at their...
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, just sorry to interrupt. Like, they didn't own it originally. Gearbox was its own entity. They just were the publisher back in the day.
Yes.
But now they fully own it. Right, okay.
Now they fully own Gearbox.
Yes, okay.
So Gearbox has made... Right now they're working on an unknown Borderlands game. But they've made... Tales of the Borderlands, Borderlands Wild, Wonderland, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Duke Nukem, Battleborn. That's a Alien Colonial Marines, Duke Nukem Forever. Those are the games in between all the Borderlands games. And then they published the games they published. They are very hit or miss on publishes too. They have some good ones like Remnant 2 and Risk of Rain Returns. And then some kind of questionable ones like Godfall and some other ones. So very kind of and they've also had they published We Happy Few. So they're very hit or miss. They're not a rock star. And I think the one thing that they have hit on is Borderlands. So when I see this that they got purchased, I immediately just look at Borderlands. But what do you guys think before I move on? Is there any kind of final...
I don't know if it's necessarily Take-Two is going to be the turning point that fixes it all. I think you need to turn internally and look at Gearbox themselves. And I think they just need to go back to their roots. I think 1 and 2, no one was playing it for the story. Let's just get that out of the way. It was just a fun, stupid adventure. The co-op was probably the best part about it. I remember playing through 1 and 2 multiple times with my buddies back in the day. Because you could just do so many different things between the four different characters and the classes. But it was just fun. And then 3, just like you said, Tim, it just felt like glorified DLC for Borderlands 2. Nothing was different. Nothing felt fresh.
That's what it felt like, DLC.
And just to top it off, the story was absolutely horrendous. Like, 1 and 2, again, wasn't playing it for the story, but the characters were fun. The writing was clever. The jokes were there. It didn't fall flat. You get to 2 and you get Handsome Jack, which I think arguably was a fantastic villain because he was like one of those like lovable villains. Like he was just like so stupid, but also so good. And then 3 just like did nothing. It was a struggle to get through, to be completely honest. And then we've tried playing in co-op where it's supposed to shine these types of games. And we just couldn't even get through. Do we even get halfway?
I don't even know if we got halfway.
Yeah, close to it, if just on before it. And that's sad. That really is sad, because the very thing that made Borderlands what it is, we couldn't even stomach it enough to get through.
Well, I think part of it is too that it was such a fresh experience with 2, and a lot of it was the same. So when we had already experienced this multiplayer aspect with 2, and we tried it again for 3, it was like playing the same game over again. When you're a gamer, you're looking for that new experience and that fun experience. And so it was like, for us, we already did it. You know, let's move on to something else that's different and new and exciting. Because we're constantly doing that. And developers know that. I mean, like if you're like, for example, Maze, you play Overwatch, right? They constantly pump in new content and challenges and things to force you to keep playing and give you new experiences and ways to play. This just was it. I don't want to crap on it because it's not a bad game. It's just, and it scored pretty well, but it just wasn't for me. So
no, it wasn't a bad game. We've definitely seen games that are not even tolerable to play.
Yeah, it was playable. Sure.
This was playable. It just didn't keep our attention.
I think the, I think my take real quick, two final takes. You guys mentioned this game reviewed well. And on top of that too, the other thing with the game is that, is that we also have a movie coming out pretty soon with Kevin Hart and Jane Lynch and some other people. So I think it's a smart move by 2K buying these guys and then releasing Borderlands. I have no doubt that it's a smart business move, because I think that Embracer Group is unloading in the sense that they're kind of looking at it. They're going, hey, we're hemorrhaging money. They probably, I don't know how much. If we look back, I wonder how much Embracer Group bought Gearbox for and then how much these guys are selling for. So, but with that being additional, you know, kind of just knowing the movie's coming out with Kevin Hart, Jane Lynch, all those people, I think Borderlands 3 reminds me very much of how I felt about Arkham Knight. A little less so. I think this game's worse than that. But what I mean is that you have two great games, and then you have the third game reviewing really well, but all the fans are going, yeah, it's not great, you know? Well, and that's exactly how I feel.
Just to throw it out there for you guys, since you asked him, Take-Two got a steal of a deal on this. When Embracer Group acquired Gearbox, they bought them for approximately $1.3
billion. Okay.
They sold the Take-Two Interactive for $460
yeah. million. So Take-Two knew exactly what they were doing. Yeah, they knew exactly.
Yeah. So Take-Two was the shrewd business people that they are and jumped on this. And maybe they can turn the series around and bring it back to its former glory. It would be fantastic. I'd love to see it happen. Personally, I love the Borderlands series. I have very fond memories from the 360 era when this first came out. Great game. I would love to see it come back into the limelight again, like it once was. And I think a lot of people would love to see that as well. You know, it's a beloved franchise.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with this. I'm shocked that, you know, Xbox and or PlayStation didn't go after them. I know everyone's consolidating right now. It's a bad time to buy. Especially,
I don't think Xbox needs it right after they just spent $76 billion on Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it's one of those things that, you know, this is just adds to the arsenal of excellent first-person shooters. You know, this is one of the big, probably one of the best, in my opinion, first-person shooter adventure games that is like a solo RPG. Like, there's very few of them like this to the scale where you can really customize your character. I'm scratching my head trying to think of ones that are like Borderlands. You know, it's a very unique style first person shooter. You know, most of them are fast paced.
Well, yeah, combat. It's not like an RPG. It's like, yeah, like you said, it's you know, they're first person. Well, not a lot of shooters are RPGs.
Yeah. There's right. Not, no, it's a first person shooter RPG. Yeah. No, I mean, that's why it was so beloved. They did it right the first time, and I loved it. That's why it was so different and unique at the time. And you're right, Bill. I'm struggling to think of anything. I don't think anyone has captured that magic since.
Yeah, and it's great. It's like, don't get me wrong. The formula is fantastic. It's a 4-player online co-op game that's an RPG shooter. There's not many out there, and you know, some of the content that are good, and like I think we're being harsh on Borderlands 3. It's like we said, it's not a bad game, but it's not a great one, and the story is ass. The last piece of news that I have regarding is there are kind of some layoffs happening. We talked about Ubisoft laying off 45 individuals. Additionally to certain Affinity laying off 25 individuals, and Nintendo cutting 120 contract roles ahead of the Switch 2's launch. So kind of some scary times. And additionally too, I also want to note that Sega is cutting 240 jobs in Europe and selling Relic Entertainment. So Relic Entertainment is the people behind Company of Heroes. Maze, you read about them in Jason Schreier's book. They also made Age of Empires and the Homeworld series. They're a Vancouver company, and they're selling them to a UK investment company. So Relic is still going to support a lot of their games. So they said that they're going to continue to support its existing games, but they are planning on being sold. So it's pretty wild. I think it kind of goes back to the thing of Billy, you were saying, you wonder why, you know, like Relic didn't get purchased by, you know, Microsoft, right? I believe. Maze, was it Relic that was working with Microsoft?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, it was Relic.
Yeah.
I think you get to a point when you're like such a large studio that for quality control purposes, you know, QAQC type stuff, you can't manage everyone. So keeping and selecting the perfect studios or the ones that, you know, under the banner of Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, or whoever, Sega, you can only, you know, keep so many, you know, and do good quality shit. So it's sad to see them go. You know, it's one of these things that maybe they, you know, they split off. We heard about Toys for Bob. That's kind of a good thing because I did read that they're going to continue to partner with Microsoft and Microsoft is still going to support them, you know, getting there on their platforms and stuff, but it allows them to become a more of an independent studio and also forces them to become more hungry, you know, even maybe work just as hard or harder to get that audience.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say that's one of those rare instances. It's not often you see a studio actually break off and become independent. It's normally, which is kind of scary because, again, going back to Jason Schreier, you see all of these people who were hungry, they wanted the business, they wanted to prove themselves, and a lot of them just couldn't meet the deadlines and kind of went under. So, I mean, you hope that Toys for Bob can continue to do what they have done and prove that they are still the studio that they are. So, you know, good for them. I hope they succeed in all their endeavors.
But yeah,
scary times out there. With every passing week, I feel like there's new layoffs.
And every single time we do this show, I feel like I'm reading off 50 people here, 100 people there, 1900 people there. It's bananas. So we, you know, you wish them the best.
One thing I wanted to say is, sometimes it's good though when you stay independent. Like, do watch The Escapist. Made a really, really excellent YouTube show for a documentary on Sea of Stars. You guys, Maze, obviously you played Sea of Stars. Fantastic game. Go watch that documentary. It's really good. It talks about like the studio and their journey of becoming an independent studio and how, you know, obviously the first game, The Messenger, was a Devolver Digital game. They made the decision and the choices to become an independently publish the second game that they worked on. I thought that was really cool. So check that out.
I'll have to go and check that out. The Escapist. I know you sent that mm-hmm. video.
Yeah, I have to go watch that.
But guys, with that being said, let's just go into the last piece of news. There are some games coming out to PlayStation and Xbox pretty soon. I think PlayStation, I really don't say this often, and Billy, you're gonna hate me for saying this, or you're gonna love me for saying this rather. PlayStation, I think, wins this month for games coming out. So this month they have Immortals of Avium, Minecraft Legends, and Skull the Hero being the games of the month. And additionally, too, if you have PlayStation Plus now, or not now, PlayStation Plus Extras or whatever, you can get Zao, which Tales of Kenzura, so it's that Metroidvania game made by EA, or EA Inside. It's EA Indie game. It's the game, I forget the name of the studio, but it's published by EA. It was at the Game Awards. Metroidvania looks really, really, really cool. So that game is coming out day and date on April 23rd on PlayStation Plus Extra. And additionally to Dave the Diver, when it makes its console debut, because I don't believe it's on PlayStation yet. I could be wrong, but I think it's just on Switch. It is coming to Xbox, PlayStation, or coming just to play. I don't know. But I do know that it's making its PlayStation debut day one on PlayStation Plus, so you can get that game also for free. So that, or not for free, but with your PlayStation Plus Extra. So make sure you have to pay for the extra account. You don't get it with the free one.
Is the extra one the $120 a year?
Yes.
Okay, so that's like not the high tier. It's like the mid tier.
Yes.
Okay, that one's not bad. That's the one I subscribe to. I don't. Unfortunately, I'm not like I don't get that super, super high tier and get those extra.
Dude, you're not like me. You're not like me, dude. You gotta get.
There's only a few of them I want to play. And I went out and bought them. Like, I bought the Ape Escape shit because I need those monkeys on my machine, right? So, but one more piece of news. I wanted to say this. We should go back and play Sea of Stars because they did release. There's going to be a patch update where the entire game is three player co-op.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, I like that.
Now, how does that work with the mechanic of, you know how you could like bounce it between two characters?
I have no idea. I think you each control like a different character on the main on the map as you walk around. I have no idea, but it's going to be a free update.
I'd be curious to try that out just because I sucked at doing the timing for that.
Yeah, you didn't get that wild trophy, which was like I got the first 10 minutes
fucking,
of the game.
I couldn't fucking do it. I don't know what I could. Once it started going too fast, I just could not keep it going long enough to hit 25. And I thought I had it. I literally thought I had it. It'd be wild to try, though, with another person, like trying to do the timing together. See if we can even pull it off. Probably not.
No, I'll fuck it up.
Billy, you hit that right away. Maze, you were struggling, right? Billy, because you got that.
I couldn't get it. I literally could not get it. I suck at timing objectives like that with quick time events.
If you're not good at, like, it's the same thing with, like, parrying. Like, some people are just, like, really good. Like, I'm not that great. Like, I suck at Sekiro. Like, I almost beat the game. I got, like, towards the end of the game. But if you suck at parrying, you're never going to get past that game.
Oh, I don't suck at parrying. I'm just lazy. Like I said, I said it with canceling my Ubisoft Plus. I just like, don't you parry? No, I just bull rush guys.
I just take
parry this, you casual.
Yeah, I'm going in. I'm going in with a big sword.
Yeah, in Dark Souls and the Souls type games, I literally don't. I try not to parry. I just like lower the amount of equipment that I have and then run around the boss. And
dodge. Just roll around
the boss and slash his legs a bunch of times.
I'm more of a dodger than a parrier because I just the timing when you get into those like those very mechanic heavy games and like each attack has different timings. Like I don't have time to learn all of this. It's way outside of what I have the attention span for.
My problem is I love Dark Souls and I love those games, but then you look at, speaking of don't have time for that, you look at all like the stats they have, you go, oh my god, like that's the thing. I look at Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma looks kick ass, don't get me wrong, but then you look at all the stats. Yeah, and like you're like, that's like a full-time job doing that.
I love it though. It's so rewarding. You get to go in, you get to cherry pick what you want and make your character stronger, lighter. It's like, and it actually works. Like, I remember there was a boss I played, I believe it was in Dark Souls 2 or 3, and it was a certain night, and I was just getting my ass kicked, and I, like, swapped out my entire equipment load to make him, like, super fast. I just destroyed the guy. I was like, he just couldn't hit me.
Yeah, that's how you win those games.
It's very, very cool. It's like, holy shit, these guys are brilliant for making this game.
But let's move on to Xbox games coming out. So I don't think it's as good of a month. Once again, we only get half the month at a time with Xbox, so you only get the first half. And I'm just going to say how we kind of ended the month with Xbox. So we got Ark Survival Ascended on April 1st. We got F1 23 on April 2nd. We got Super Hot Mind Control Delete on April 2nd. There were some other games earlier in the month, Diablo, Evil West, but we'll go into next month to be fair. So we got this, the first half of this month, we got Lego 2K Drive on April 3rd. That was a PlayStation game a little while ago. We got Little Gator Games. So Billy, you like this game. This game's coming out on April 4th.
So good.
We got EA Sports PGA Tour just in time for the Masters.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, you guys, we should go to the Masters. We should go and check out Augusta. Come on down.
They say it's magical. They say it's an experience.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, would you rather go that or a football game? I like the action of football. I don't know.
Yeah, they say that you have to be quiet there, and I'm gonna sneak an air horn in and just blow it behind Maze to make it sound like he did it.
You blame Maze. Maze did it.
Oh my god, I was like, look at it, it's at his
Maze, feet. What are you doing?
What the hell, buddy?
You know they have cameras, right?
There's literally like film, like it's televised. We would see you doing it, you little dirty prick.
God damn. Okay. So not only that, we also got Kona, which is used to be on Game Pass, but it's coming back. That's on April 9th. The game that looks the most interesting to me, and a lot of people kind of probably missed this one, is Botany Manor. This is a day one game with Game Pass coming out on April 9th. It kind of looks like The Witness, kind of has that same art style. So go and check this one out. Additionally, too, Shadows of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. So it comes with all the DLC, is coming out on April 11th. And then additionally, too, Harold Halibut is day one on Game Pass. It looks like one of those like kind of like mystery games. So Billy, definitely not up your alley. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the first half of the month. I do think though that with PlayStation getting Dave the Diver day one and that other game day one, Tales of Kenzera, that is like killer. And then games coming out this week, Freedom Planet 2 is coming out on April 4th, Turbo Golf Racing is coming out on April 4th, and then the Deceit 2 is coming out April 3rd. So kind of a quiet week compared to kind of the end of March.
I have to say, end of April, if you're a JRPG fan, is stacked. Stacked with decent games. So, like, I am...
Give me a list. Give me a list.
I got some right here. I'm pretty pumped. So, Yudian Chronicle is the long-awaited spiritual successor to Suikoden is coming out on all platforms at the end of the month, on the 23rd. That's like, if you're going to get any game this month, that's the juggernaut for JRPGs. It looks fantastic. It's that 2D, 3D art style. There was a couple other ones. Sega Emerald Beyond, that's like a Square Enix, the Saga series. You guys probably don't know about it. It's very niche. It's old school. Art style on this is not my cup of tea. It is what it is. We have Sandland at the end of the month if you're into that.
I'm excited for Sandland. Now, I know that you said the demo wasn't received well, but...
But here's the thing. I'm hearing through the grapevine that the demo is ass, but the game could actually be very good because it's like they throw you into this demo in a really weird part of the game, and the Sandland game is like there's a new anime there. I think they're going to start introducing more of this anime like into the general audience. I think there's like new like animes coming out for this or a recreation of it or something like that.
Now that's the one for Akira Toriyama worked on that, didn't he?
Yes.
I'm interested in that one.
So this one looks good. It's an open sandbox, but it's like a shooter, all right, and you're like in a tank and you're just riding around. Love the art style, very reminiscent, obviously. It's very Toriyama.
Dragon Ball,
Dragon Quest, it's Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, it just looks fantastic. The last one, I don't know how I feel about this one. But
Stellar Blade.
But it's obviously, well, Stellar Blade's coming out. Yeah, that one's fantastic. It's called Megaton Musashi. Have you looked this thing up? Level 5.
Oh, well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's coming west?
It's coming west.
Hell yeah, that's day one, baby.
I was like, that's a 10.
That's day one, baby.
He's a level 5 guy. And this is like this is kind of like a LBX. I don't know if you've played Little Ballard's Experience. It's kind of like a Gundam style game,
dude. Battle. Hell yeah!
With that nice level 5 art style. It's an older series, right? So, but they're bringing it back. So, I'm excited for this. I'm waiting for the reviews on this one. I don't know what it's going to be like, but packed end of the month. Obviously, the big pickups for me: Stellar Blade and Yudian Chronicle. But these other ones in here. There could be some
dude, you might have just made my month. I mean, now knowing this is coming out, I think I know what.
Yeah,
I'm a level 5 like super fan. So with this game coming out, yeah,
this could be ass though. You never know. I mean, like I trust level 5. I love them for Ni No Kuni and like a lot of their games. Obviously Yo-Kai, but who knows? Could be good. Could be.
Yeah, I just want to see, what did this game get on Famitsu?
It came out a while ago. They're porting this.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If the game, okay, so the game got a 34 out of 40 on Famitsu. So it's you know, it's good. Nintendo Life, yeah, Nintendo Life has already reviewed it. They gave it a 7 out of 10. So it's, you know, it's because it is, it released years ago. So it's good though to notice this. So level 5, the reason why I'm excited is because level 5, they haven't released any of their games west since a long time. I believe they stopped releasing their games in the west with Snack World, the dungeon crawl, which came out in 2018.
That was a wreck.
That game wasn't very good, because that's then sad. They made they've made like the re-releases, right? Like, so Ni No Kuni 2 came west.
I like Ni No Kuni 2. What, listen, was it the first one? No.
No, definitely wasn't. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
It was good.
I mean, it's definitely one you should still play if you've not played the second one.
They had some interesting games, because they had like Little Battlers X, Little Battlers.
That game was Battlers. Dark. That game was much darker than I anticipated. I remember there was a sniper in that game, like a terrorist that was trying to kill people with a toy.
It's like, that's pretty wild. I mean, the best game they made is Yo-Kai Watch. Not a sentence
I thought I'd be hearing today.
Yeah, it was like, well, it was now basically you get these little toys, right, in LBX, and this, I guess there was a sniper like in a window trying to kill people, and I was like, is he trying to kill my toy, or is he trying to kill people with toys? So
it's weird. You look back at their games, and we can move on to what we're playing this week, but you look back at their games and you go, they made Inazuma 11. I remember getting that on the 3DS. And then they made, like, obviously their biggest series being, and Billy, you might correct me if I'm wrong, but their biggest series being Professor Layton, Inazuma 11, Yo-Kai Watch, and then additionally to Ni No Kuni. Additionally to the Dragon Quest series. So they made Dragon Quest 8 and Dragon Quest 9. So they're also in that. But yeah, Yo-Kai Watch, Fantasy Life, Professor Layton. They're making Deca Police, which is coming out this year at some point. But the one thing that gets me upset is like, yo, just give me Yo-Kai. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a bummer. I bet you it's a licensing issue.
Yeah. But it also pains me, dude. Every day I look and I'm like, is it coming out? It's like kind of like Redfall.
You wake up in a cold sweat.
Dude, I wake up in a cold sweat. It's like kind of like Redfall. Like Redfall, every now and then I look up Twitter to say, hey, is there a new Redfall like update? Because I want to play that game eventually.
It's more painful waiting for Yo-Kai.
Yo-Kai is painful because it's actually a good game.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have Pikachu as a pet or Jibanyan as a pet?
Jibanyan. Easy.
Really?
Yeah. Hot take. Can I say this? You hear us talk about this game every so often. Yo-Kai Watch 3 kind of sucks.
I thought the gameplay in Yo-Kai Watch 3 was great. The story was right up there as probably one of the worst stories I've ever played in gaming.
Nobody's buying those for the story.
I was.
No, you weren't.
The second one was great. The second one was fantastic.
I love a good JRPG story. Let me tell you.
Right. Can we say that game though? The second one, it's
a catching mechanic game. That's, you're not buying it for the story. That's you're buying Pokemon for the story.
Oh, but
I do.
Oh, we do.
No, you don't.
I remember when Clay told me that. He goes, like Pokemon Black and White have the best story. And I'm like, you've been playing these games for the story? Like, I haven't played these games for 20 years. the story is just beat all the bad guys and become the Pokemon Master. That's it.
It's the same thing every time.
Follow the theme song. That's the story.
To be the very best, like no one ever was.
Yeah. Yeah, Clay's like, no, it was very like intriguing. I'm going, maybe, but I don't know. Went over my head. Fast forward through all those conversations. But no, I'm just going to say this, guys. I think Yo-Kai Watch 2 and like the psychic specters and the fleshy bones and this, what with the other one. those three games reminded me so much of Pokemon Gold and Silver, where they're just like, it's like the S-tier. First game's great, so but it's S tier. And you're playing that and you're going, oh my God, this is like so good. And then the third one came out and you're like, okay, maybe this is like kind of like Emerald, where like, or like Ruby and Sapphire, and where people don't want to admit it, but the game does have problems, but it's still great. You know, I love Emerald and Sapphire, two of my favorite games. But the game still has problems, but it's great. But then we got nothing after that, and it sucks. And it makes me mad.
What's crazy is the third game of how expensive it's gotten, because they've only – I was reading somewhere they only sold around, like, 5,000 copies in, the North America's or the Americas. So it's, like, kind of wild. Like, they're going for, like, $400 for a copy on eBay. Which is, that's insane. That's insane for a 3DS game.
It's amazing to me, with all of this clamoring for them, how we've not gotten anything else. Like, they don't see the market.
I think it's more of a collector's item, in that these people, most of these games.
Well, it's only a collector's item because not a lot of copies were made and sold here.
Yeah, I know. Is the game good though? I mean, we all love it, but it's sad because they're. Honestly, too, there's no way that you can play these games anymore because you can't really download them with the eShop from the 3DS.
Yeah.
And the physical copies are next to impossible to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're shit out of luck. Now, I'll say this. Guys, what are we playing on this week? Because I'm still playing RoboCop. I got a little bit behind. I was away this past week, so I'm going to skip on mine. Maze, disappointing
you, Tim. I thought you would have blown through Desolate Detroit already.
I'm almost there. Robo is still spreading peace.
Guys, I'll be right back. I just got to grab a charger from my laptop. It's about to die.
And then Oh, no.
He's going to miss me talk about Robo.
Okay, he's going to miss the best part. The best part of the pod.
The best part of the pod. Hearing me talk about RoboCop.
Yeah.
No, so Maze, what are you playing? What's going on?
Well, I have... Let's see. Where do I want to start? Let's get this out of the way. Overwatch, in their attempts to continue to appease the fan base, they have
appeased been doing you
and me. Mostly me. It's all for me. Let's be honest. Blizzard's just trying to appease me. I'm the real target audience. They have started releasing new content ahead of schedule to test it out. To, you know, let us dip our toes in the water and see what works, what doesn't work. I like it. I think it's a great idea that they're doing this, and in such fashion, we got to test out the new hero this past weekend.
Who's the new hero?
It is a new damage. Her name is Venture.
Okay, looking this up now.
So I did dabble in that before, ahead of the launch on April 10th with the new season of Overwatch, but I rather enjoyed it. I think it's another good hero for the game. Definitely one of the more unique ones. She wields a drill that shoots charges that detonate at a certain distance, and has the ability to dive under the map and drill around and then pop up, attacking enemies from like any angle. Interesting character. Has a lot of finesse to it, because the whole idea is you have to get up close and personal to the enemy team with her, because her range with her weapon's not that great. But she also has a lot of different unique abilities, in that, you know, the typical melee attack is just like a punch. Hers is like you hold down the melee button and it actually hits them with the drill and like spins and does excess damage as well, unlike a normal melee.
So now this new character, so this is one of the, so they're testing this character out. Is this character coming later on or in another?
She will officially be available in the game with the launch of season 10 on April 10th. So okay. They launched her ahead of schedule just to give us a taste of it, a limited time window.
Now, is with the launch of season 10, I was reading that they're going to start to kind of release a lot of these characters, even if you don't have the season pass or even if you didn't buy them. Is that the case?
So they already have. You can unlock them. The season pass gives you, I don't know if it's going to change. I haven't looked too much into it. I'd have to see what happens in season 10. But generally, since the launch of Overwatch 2, it was originally the only way to get the new heroes was to, you know, A, buy the season pass and that gives you them immediately, or make it to level 50 in the season. And you can do that with or without the paid one. Now, for those who are just jumping onto Overwatch 2, you can unlock all of the past heroes by completing certain challenges within the game, and you'll get them. And I'm assuming it's still going to be the same in Season 10. You know, I'll let you know. I haven't looked much into this, but I'll let you know when Season 10 does launch later on this month.
Now, do you buy the season? Do you buy the season every time?
I do. I think it's worth it because each 10 levels, and there's like 80 levels, gives you a new outfit for a certain hero. In Colmates, at like level 80, you get like what they call a mythic level skin, which is like a customizable one with different like color palettes and different like items that you can customize it to your liking. I think it's absolutely worth it because I look at some of the other like bundles that you can get where you're like paying $40 to get like, yeah, sure, you get 2,000 coins, but it's a skin, an emote, a charm, and some sprays. I'm like, I don't want to spend $40 on that. I get like, sure, it's random. It's, you know, they choose what they make and you get what you get with that, but I like it. There's a ton of content within the battle pass. Like each level is like a new spray, a new skin, emotes, weapon charms, you name it, voice lines, all of that. So I think it's worth it for $10, honestly.
Okay,
$10
isn't a lot. I think it's not a lot. Bill, you get Marvel Snap.
I buy like Marvel Snap every month for $10.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that you play, I think it's absolutely worth it. And it's like one of those things where they do bake in the currency into the battle pass. So like at some point, you can essentially get a battle pass for free.
I mean, to be fair, you know, I bought Ubisoft Plus, but we all buy subscriptions. You know, it's if you view it like that.
Some of us make the conscious effort to buy it. Other of us just like leave it because they just forget to cancel it.
Touche. Damn. Touche.
Damn.
Yeah, I left my Paramount Plus, baby. Let's go.
Woo, he finally did it.
Well, okay, No. I bought another year. Well, I know why, because I want to watch the Sonic TV show. I want to watch Knuckles, that dude.
And Tulsa King.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I got you there. Well, here's the thing. We should binge the Knuckles.
Tulsa
show.
King. Oh. Yeah.
I mean, isn't it only like six episodes?
Knuckles or Tulsa King? Knuckles every time.
Both. Both. Why not both?
Why not? Why do we have to choose?
Do a little Knuckles, do a little Tulsa King.
Why do we have to choose? Go back and Bill? Forth. Yeah, I don't want to choose. I want to watch both.
Yeah.
I want to see Idris Elba.
Yeah, well, I just want to see Idris Elba.
But
and then
why should we have to choose? We can have both. We can have everything.
And so I'm Tulsa greedy. King, are they making another season?
God, I hope so.
Tulsa King? Yeah.
I thought it ended.
Yeah. No. What do you mean? It didn't end.
It ended on a cliffhanger, dude. Yeah. What, you not watch it?
Don't you remember the like, end of the
episode? So long. It was like last
But don't
summer,
you remember
right?
the end of the episode when he's standing on the stairs and he's like, someone got an ambulance.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
No, it ends after that.
You're right, but that's like, my favorite part of that entire season.
Gosh, I love Sylvester Stallone.
Anyways, besides that side tangent, I was playing Overwatch. I tested that out. But let's get to the real meat and potatoes here. The game we actually care about. I'm about 20 hours into Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Oh my god. Oh my god, buddy. I knew you were crushing it this weekend. I didn't know that you were crushing it that much.
You know what the sad thing is that the majority of those 20 hours are, like everyone said, it's just the side shit. It's all the collecting. It's all that stuff.
I thought I was making good progress. I'm about 10 hours in. I just got through the cave area. And that's not a spoiler. There's plenty of part. There's so many. The environments are so different. The ecosystem.
I do like that how they break it up, though. Like, you had the first big area, the grasslands, which was open world, and you get like the more traditional linear area, which was a nice, like, you know, breakup of it. Because then right after that, you get to the next big area. And let me tell you, right before we hopped on here, I finished off all of the content within that area, like all the towers and the battles and all that. I just finish all that off.
Damn. Yeah.
So no, I haven't even touched. I haven't touched a story for that area yet.
Yeah, I'm playing the story. I'm doing like I'm playing it probably how it's traditionally supposed to be played, like where I'm not like trying to get everything done in that one time and then just like bomb rush it.
Go right for it. Go right and do everything first and then go to the story. Don't have to worry about anything.
I know, but it's like it's fine. It's nice because you can go back and like do like I do like sometimes with my JRPGs. I like to go back to areas because if I'm stuck in just one area for too long, it gets like
well, but you can go back.
No, you can. Look, go back.
I appreciate that they have structured it in a way where you can tackle all that stuff if you want to right off the bat. There's a lot of RPGs that like lock things behind walls, like different abilities, or you haven't unlocked this area yet. I appreciate that there's nothing blocking you. You can go do it if you want. You absolutely 100% can go do that if you want to bum rush it like I did. And then go take care of the story and then move on. But yeah, I mean, I'm loving it. I don't know about you, Bill. I think this game is absolutely phenomenal. Easily going to be a Game of the Year nominee.
Yeah, it's
how does it compare though to Yakuza Infinite Wealth? That's my question.
Oh, here's Maze. Here's my take with this. It's like it's hard because I think the characters in the story, like I love the characters in the story of Yakuza. Like those characters mean so much to me, but the world in this game is just like it is crazy.
It's better than Hawaii,
I think. I think the best way to put this is that, don't get me wrong, I love both of them, but I feel like they are two different games. Even though they are both JRPGs, they are still both wildly different games, and it's
yeah. Which one's better though?
I'm not yet done with Final Fantasy. I can't pass judgment yet until I've fully invested my probably 140 hours into this.
Where are we really going for it? We're not. Here's the thing. I looked it up the other night. I'm probably not going for this platinum because it requires.
Oh, you're not going to because there's a platinum to beat on hard mode.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't really want to play another 100 hour campaign.
No.
Through to beat this, like I'm just gonna play, get all the content done that I can in it, enjoy it, and try to see everything. That's how I did with Final Fantasy 16. Like I did everything in that game, all the side quests. I love these games and like I'll go back and play the DLC and get all the story shit. So I mean
it's going to be interesting because definitely Final Fantasy 16 was more of a linear style with a little bit of open world, if you will. It was pseudo open world. There wasn't much explanation and there wasn't any really things to collect. It was mostly like side quests. This is definitely more of an open world style game. I'm loving it. With each new open world area, like you got the chocobos. And each chocobo has a different unique ability. I don't know if you've gotten the one for the.
I'm in the second.
The area is called. I don't even know what it's called. Like the desert area.
Yeah.
I love how they do that. Like you have to wrangle a chocobo.
Jordan or something.
Johan. Whatever. Thank you. Yeah. Jotun. I don't know. Something like that. Jodo. Is it Jodo region?
Yeah. Now we're gonna go region? To we're going to Kanto and then Sinnoh.
Oh, I hope so. It better be. In the Unova region, I want to go there next.
Yeah.
We digress, but I love how they keep it fresh, to keep it different. It doesn't seem stale. Yes, you're still like going to the towers. Yes, you're still having the battles and like the different wellsprings and all the crystals to help like get the summoning materia. But they still keep it different because like you get stuff like the new mechanics with like this region. These chocobos can climb walls. Didn't see that coming. Thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, one thing I will say with this, the open world, it feels a lot like Ghost of Tsushima or like Witcher 3 or Assassin's Creed, except I feel like the stuff that they hide in this world benefits the character a lot. It's like meaningful upgrades. Like you get, for example, there's like these summoning guys that you can get like in the game. If you go to certain like caves, you can find like pieces of like that summoner creature or whatever, and it basically makes it easier to beat the boss and then unlock the character. So it's just very well thought out. It's very, very polished. you can see that Square Enix spent probably, and I don't want to say this, probably more time on this one than Final Fantasy 16. I feel like the production value in this is like just obscene sometimes. Like, I step back, I look at the world, I'm like, Jesus, like, this thing is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
I thought absolutely Final Fantasy 16 was absolutely stunning and in the best looking Final Fantasy ever. This game is like right there. I think one thing I will say with Final Fantasy 16 is those bosses are hard to beat. Those boss battles from 16 were fucking fantastic. So,
oh, they were cinematic as hell. Like, it was watching a movie.
It was like, it was so good. Sense of scale. Yeah,
what do you think about the story of this game compared to 16? What one are you a bigger fan of? I know they're very different stories, but
I mean, I think, like I said, I think it's, I can't really speak to that. It's still too early on. Like I said, I literally just spent probably a good 6 to 7 hours just doing the side shit in the new area. I haven't even touched the story, so it's such a long story, I can't really say much of that right now. I have a bad habit of collecting things before I even touch the story. I just, like, I have to do it. It's like a nervous tick. So I'm not going to comment on it. Love Final Fantasy 16 story, but I'm sure I'm going to love this as this proceeds, because I do love the characters, like Cloud and Tifa and Aerith and especially Barret. Love them all. As we take down the evil Shinra. Electric company.
Take down Exxon Mobil.
But I'm it's loving Monsanto, it so far.
Basically,
yeah, I love this game. It's so much fun just exploring the worlds. Square Enix has done a phenomenal job with this, and I can't wait to continue playing this. And I don't know about you, Bill, but you haven't done like any of the side shit in the new area yet.
No, nope. I literally just walked into the new area like
yeah, because like I did it and. There's like the relics you have to collect for each region.
Yep.
And the new one, there's like a bit of an Easter egg with it, which is like a shout out to the original Final Fantasy VII. And I absolutely adored it and loved it.
That's very cool.
Like, I don't want to ruin it. I'll let you experience it, because when it happened, I'm like, oh shit, get the fuck out of here. They did not just do this. And it's hilarious.
Awesome. Yeah, they they're very aware, like there's little hints of it. Like, I mean, I know Barret, like when he wins a battle, he'll like sing the final, he'll like hum the Final Fantasy tune or something. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like that is just really like cool, and the developers know what they're doing. There's like love and care went into this. There's we had a conversation a couple weeks ago who the king of JRPGs are. Square Enix shows up when they want to, you know. There's been these two
games, they have the history. They also have the history. Let's not forget
They have the history, but like it just in the past year, I played like, I mean, we forget like Star Ocean's Second Story R. I mean, that game you guys didn't play is fucking fantastic.
Well, and, like, well, you also forget that these guys not only make Final Fantasy, Billy, you're touching on this, Final Fantasy, but also, you know, within Final Fantasy, you have kind of the remake franchise of Final Fantasy VII. You also have Final Fantasy 16. You also have Final Fantasy 14 online, not to mention the spin-offs of Tactics whatnot. Ogre.
Yeah,
Tactics Ogre. But additionally too, like you said, Valkyrie Elysium, some of these side-offs, Star Ocean, and of course, probably the biggest one in Japan, Dragon's Quest. You know, we mentioned that at the top of the show, Akira, you know, that's, you know, Toriyama, that's, you know, that's the...
Like, Dragon Quest 11 is, like, if someone says my favorite RPG of all time, that game is, like, anyone that's finished that game, I have never heard someone finish that game and say, I didn't like that. Like, I think that game is fan-fucking-tastic. But, you know, just in the past couple of years, I mean, Square and Sega seem to be, and Atlas seem to be just duking it out for, you know, some of the greatest JRPGs of our modern generation. And I think like this year is a battle. I think just starting this game, it's fantastic. I think obviously Infinite Wealth has a special place in my heart, but I think that this game is 100% going to be at the game of the year. It's like, and very well could be a game of the year, a winner, you know?
So, it is not a doubt in my mind that it's going to compete. And it very well could take it all. It's just been that good. And I'm sure we'll be able to speak to it more as we progress in the story. Before we move on, just like two things I want to point out. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of getting sick though. Like, I feel like every RPG now feels like they need to emulate The Witcher in creating a card game or some sort of minigame within the game. It's kind of old.
Yakuza has been doing that forever. I give Yakuza a pass. That was different.
What minigames did they create though? I'm talking like card games. They didn't create a card game in Yakuza, so I'm not talking about Yakuza.
They didn't create a game within a game.
Yeah.
Like these guys made.
Well, no, Tsujimon's a game.
But they were poking fun at Pokemon. Yeah. They were poking fun at Pokemon. That wasn't like supposed to be like super unique.
They had the Doki Doki Island.
But that's
the Crazy Taxi.
These aren't all serious.
Yeah, those were like all mini games, like poking fun at like some famous like genres and games out there. I don't count those because like other than that, the only other game in there is Shogi, and that's like a real world game that wasn't made by them.
That's the downfall of Final Fantasy VII, where they're like, before we get to this next story beat, here's another mini game for the 84th time. Like there's just minigame.
But do you feel like everyone's trying to emulate what CD Projekt Red created with Gwent and how Gwent went on to actually become like an actual card game? Now everyone's trying to do that.
I think that they look back at that and that might have had a lot of influence because they did that very well. Like that is a very well made game within a game. And I don't know. I think the bigger thing when you were saying did CD Projekt Red emulate certain? I think what games have done better because of CD Projekt Red is not. I know the card thing is annoying, and I can't say that that's the truth because I have seen it a couple times. But I think the bigger emulation thing is the side missions. I think I've noticed over the years that side missions are becoming less monotonous and go here, drop off this, and move forward. And they're becoming more of independent stories within themselves, where you go and you're going, oh, okay, there's a whole storyline to this side quest. And it's much more. And I think that kind of started. I know it was in a couple games beforehand. I'm not saying they were the ones that invented it, but I think it felt like since The Witcher 3, you're seeing more and more of that because people gravitated towards that. Like the one thing I look back at Witcher 3 is story was great. Don't get me wrong, but the side quests that were in that world made the world feel alive. It was very similar to Yakuza. And I imagine that Final Fantasy VII is very similar, but I don't know. That's what I thought you were originally going with that, so that's why I wanted to say that.
I mean, I think you're right. You're absolutely 100% with the side quest aspect of things, but I think that's more of, at least I find myself appreciating that more. I enjoy the side quests that add to it, allow you to like see the characters as more than just like characters in the game, and it actually fleshes them out because they have other interactions. You get to see them like be themselves other than like, oh, we're on a mission to save the world.
Sometimes I will say this too, for JRPGs.
Billy loves card games.
For JRPGs, I do love a good old fashioned card game. There's so many out there, especially for JRPGs. But sometimes there's a type of genre of JRPG that's become almost a subset of a JRPG, where it's like that cozy JRPG where we've become so in tuned with the fetch questing. Or another one is like a harvest style game. Like it's like that cozy, monotonous thing that you continue to do over and over. Not saying that's a good thing, but there are people out there that actually enjoy that type of like just slow grind to get to a final destination and just build on your character. It's not for me, but I understand.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's something to be said for it.
There are people that like it.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's
story well, seasons it's this... is like that to a T. It's like the same fucking thing over and over again.
Look, not everyone can be maniacs like you and me, Bill, who just like dive into JRPG after JRPG that's over 100 hours in length.
We just love anime and that type of stuff. So
yeah, but my whole thing was just that, like, I just Queen's Blood, whatever it's called, it's just like, okay, cool. But it doesn't really do anything for me. It's like just another card-based game, and it's just like, we didn't really need it. You could have focused on other things outside of that, because it's just like,
when you start making it like side quest oriented parts of it, it's like, oh, just like fuck off. I don't want to do a side quest based around the card game.
Maze, you know what's kind of wild? I was thinking the other day, I was like, you really got into Final Fantasy just these past couple of years. Like you've been, you yes. obviously you played Kingdom Hearts, right? Which is like Final Fantasy light, but like
it's Final Fantasy adjacent.
Yeah, it's like you got like now you're like fully in. You've completed like two or three Final Fantasy games.
Oh, you want to know how fully I am in on it now? Is that when I summon all of the summonings or when I'm fighting them off? Like I'm sitting like I just got the Phoenix. I'm like, oh hey, it's Joshua. Or I just summon Ifrit. It's like, hey, Clyde, what are you doing here?
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of what's cool with Final Fantasy is that all the games, all the Final Fantasies, yes, they're all numbered, but they're all separate stories. They're not really interconnected. The only thing that they're connected with is like certain themes, certain characters. Like you'll see Cid in like every Final Fantasy. You'll see
Have Jacobos. Yet to find him yet. Have yet to find Cid in this one.
Well, I think
in
there's
this game. He's in this
well,
game.
I think there's a positive and a negative to it, right? Where Yakuza, I think that the problem is you have 1 through 6 that are so daunting. If you really can't jump in, you have to jump in at 1.
Yep.
And luckily 7 was the reboot. Like a Dragon was the reboot. So you only need to play 7 and 8 now instead of going back and playing through all of them. The brilliant part about Final Fantasy is you can pick up a Final Fantasy at any time, like you said, and play it. But with that being said, any kind of closing thoughts to Final Fantasy 7 for now? You guys are roughly, Billy, you're probably 10 hours in, Maze 20.
Maze, I will say, like, for, you know, the hardest part of the JRPG is starting a JRPG mm-hmm. is when you finish a long one and then getting into that next one and getting to that point in the game where you're like, okay, the rock is rolling now down the hill and I'm yep. like moving. Like, I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I have my party. I know where I'm going. I'm having a great time with this game. It's really opening up and I'm having a fucking ball with it. So
yeah, I'm excited to keep going. It's a very daunting task to always start a new JRPG because you know how long they are and it just takes some time to really get rolling with it. And if you invest the time and you make the effort, you will get to the point where you're just going to be like just steamrolling through it. And it's not going to feel like a chore or chugging along. And then next time you look down your timer on the game, and it's going to be like, oh, shit, I'm at like 20 hours in. When the hell did that happen? I was at like 10 just before.
Yeah. Like Maze, literally, you just probably camped all weekend. You were just gunning.
I was in heaven. I don't know about you. It felt fantastic. Just gunning through it.
Just with a beer. Just crushing. Chilling with beer.
Oh, yeah. You know, I picked up Zero Gravity Irish Nitro Cream.
Oh, I did too. Oh, how is that one?
Delicious. I may go crack one after this, but in place of more Final Fantasy.
See, I thought it was mediocre.
I thought it was very good. Really? You thought it was mediocre? I thought it was pretty
good. I thought it was like a 3. I gave it a 3.75 out of 5.
Oh, I like
that. You don't know beer. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, Maze, I know beer. I know beer.
It was so smooth. It was so good. Love it.
Was it really? Because I had listen. I was the. Want to know how I know beer? It's because I had that like 2 months ago.
It's just so good.
About a month and a half ago. Yeah, give or take.
And do you think that makes you better than us?
Yes,
you
I
alcoholic.
Do. Yeah, I do.
I love how Maze. It was really funny. My Unify. My like, I love this place. It's a brewery up my way. And they like. They basically put a thing on April Fool's Day, got Lauren good. All right. Said like, we're hosting a throwback party at Unify Beer Works. It's going to be a COVID party. Everyone's wearing their mask and you have to drink through a straw. And Lauren's like, that fucking sucks. Why would they do that? And I'm like, look at the date. Like, got him.
Got him. Well, I mean, you know, it was the meanest one. Though. I mean,
that's terrible.
You know, it's the meanest though of all of it is Silk Song releasing. They released their page on. People don't know if it was an April Fool's joke or not, but they released their. They essentially released their game page on Xbox, and so like you could look at the game and like wishlist it and whatnot, and then interact with it on April 1st. And people are going like, "Okay, is this dropping soon or is it not?"
Oh,
to the point where
what they should have done is they should have dropped the game and then withdrew it. or just put the page up and then took it down.
April. No, 1st. They put, no, no, they
no. That is that would no. This is. It would just be so freaking cruel. It's been so long, and it's just been there's been no news. Stop it. Why are you doing this to us? I know I was joking before when I said if, like, on April Fool's, they decided to just, like, Nintendo just decided to drop something for, like, I don't know, Golden Sun. Or even, like, Federation Force just as a joke. This is, like, cruel. Like, this is a game that has been coming for years, and we've seen nothing. It just, like, disappeared. And I'm heartbroken.
Yeah. I love the first game.
Fantastic. It's not a nice April Fool's joke. But with that being said, guys, let's talk about our game of the week recommendations, and then we will sign off for one more week of VGP. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here for a long time. But forever. With that being forever until I'm unable to speak.
Until you start subscribing, we're going to be chirping in your ear.
Yeah, I'm always going to be there. Always.
We're never going to leave. You always have us.
But I'll say this, guys. Let's talk about game recommendations this week. Recommendations for whatever game you choose. It is the 1st of April, so we're getting into springtime. So, Maze, I don't know if you're going to choose a springtime game, or Billy, you're going to choose a springtime game. But
I mean, we already did that. We did that a couple weeks
ago. We did that a little while ago. But what game, Billy? Do you want to start? Kind of choose a game.
You start. You go ahead. Okay. Kick it off.
Okay. I'm going to go with we were talking about level 5 on today's podcast, and I'm going to go with the classic level 5 game. I think if you've never played this game, so a game coming out this month is Megaton Musashi. Billy just mentioned it on the pod. It's coming out everywhere. Fantasy Life is also coming out. We talk about Yo-Kai Watch a lot, but the game I'm going to recommend is probably maybe the best one, which is Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch. This game came out on Switch a little while ago. I love this game. It's one of my favorite. We talk about JRPGs all the time. Billy, hot take, this is one of my favorite JRPGs. So it fits the bill of what we were talking about on today's show. It is a great level 5 game. It's a great JRPG. Go and check this game out.
It's a long one.
But isn't it great? Isn't it a great it's game? Maze played it on PlayStation Now, which is wild.
It's very Studio Ghibli.
You cut off what game did you say?
Ni No Kuni.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did play that. That was before it became what it is now, and God, was that a fucking hassle.
And
let me tell you, playing that on PlayStation Now.
Did you finish it on PlayStation Now?
Oh, I did.
Oh that's did. Impressive.
That's a beast.
Nothing will scare you more.
Playing it on your Stadia does. I'll tell you, maybe playing on my Stadia is rough. The one that's bolted back on that TV.
But let me tell you, I had some very close calls playing that because PlayStation Now at that time was not exactly the most stable of platforms. So when you got the message, and the nature of Ni No Kuni being like one of those classic RPGs where you couldn't just save wherever you wanted to either. Like it had to be certain points. So not like, more modern ones like Final Fantasy where you can save like just about anywhere in the world. You couldn't do that in that. So when you got the warning that the connection was unstable or has dropped and it says PlayStation Now is going to shut down and you're nowhere near a save point and it's like it's giving you a countdown, like, oh dear God, oh dear God, oh dear God, oh dear God, I'm a bit of a boss battle. This is not good.
Yeah, no, it never came out on, Stadia did come out on pretty much all systems including Xbox.
Yeah, but the only thing I could feel that'd be worse than that would be like playing a game like a Souls style game.
That would be the only thing that would be
you're just like it's all bosses thing. You die, it's over.
Yo, and I'm gonna make one more recommendation as well, and this one goes back to TV shows. Started the first episode, I've been meaning to start it and finish it, of Shogun. Great show. Maze, you would love that show. So good.
I've been contemplating going and dabbling in that.
It's very good. All in Japanese. So my Duolingo is working overtime. Okay.
Are you
Maze.
Actually like translating it or do you have the subtitles on?
Oh, I have the subtitles on. I'm a lazy bastard, Maze. I can't cancel my Japanese. Ubisoft membership, you think I'm reading? Or you think I'm doing that? No. Hell no.
Well, you can't read though, so I wasn't sure.
I can't read. literate. Okay, Mace, you go next.
Well, you know, it got me thinking because we started discussing card-based minigames within RPGs. So I started thinking of some of my favorite card-based games that were actually
based around. God damn it.
See, well, I mean, there's plenty of them.
Great minds think alike. Great minds think alike. Yeah, but
there's plenty of them out there. You think we're going to pick the same one?
Perhaps.
Well, we're going to find out. Let's find out. Or were you thinking of Slay the Spire?
No, but that's a fantastic... That's, like, fucking great game. Fucking great game.
Love that game. So if you want to play, like, a real good card-based game where the whole game... Thank you for using that scooter, Tim. I love that. Keep that going. If you want to play a game solely based around card mechanics where that's like the whole shtick and it's a roguelike, go try out Slay the Spire. That's a fun little one as you make your way up the tower, build your decks, different classes, different abilities. It's so much fun and so much replay value. And now he's bringing out the house from up. Damn, he's got everything over there.
Great God,
movie.
It broke.
Sad movie.
It just shatters all of the guys. Jesus.
So Maze, you said
broke
Slay
just
the
like
Spire.
Kyle's wife died.
So Slay the Spire, Billy, what are you saying?
I got it. Okay, I always try to champion this one. This is the
Marvel Snap.
This is my JRPG card battler, voice of cards.
Marvel Snap. Voice of cards.
Isle of Dragon.
Isle Dragon Wars. Get this game.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
Get this game. It bothers me that people haven't played this game. It is so fucking
I know.
Good.
It bothers me that I haven't played it either.
It's like, think of like a world map just made out of cards. You flip as your character walks, it flips a card over. You go into dungeons. There's bosses. It's like D&D, but the whole game is also narrated by this awesome guy who does like a fantastic job. I played the first game. Love that one. I played the second one. It was very similar to the first one. Play the first one. The first one's just so freaking good. So I know it's a trilogy. There's three of them on the eShop, and they occasionally go on sale. I've seen it go to like $17.
You know what? I'm gonna start eyeing those ones, and I'm gonna buy the first one, Bill, because you told me to.
It's like Maze.
Because you told me to.
Have I ever steered you wrong with a JRPG?
No, you have not. No, you have not.
So
Billy's pretty on brand.
I'm gonna heed your recommendation, and I'm gonna start. You know,
I play a lot of shit
eShop like
too.
A hawk.
I play some really bad JRPGs too, and when that happens,
I mean, Bill just lives and breathes JRPGs.
Here's the thing. To be fair, there's certain games over the years that we've recommended that we go, yeah, no, like you should play this. If we're begging each other to say like that was me a couple weeks ago with Clay where I'm like yeah I'm like Clay Mace, let me get this. We're sitting at the dinner table. We're talking about how he needs to play Yakuza Like a Dragon. We all know that. Then Clay told me and this is based off of Clay what games Clay likes. Clay told me he's never played Okami. And I'm going to myself, I'm like, based on what you like and the fact that you haven't played that game, that is a must play. Like, for instance, it's like...
I have chest pain.
I almost would say, like, don't play Yakuza yet. Play Okami because it's almost disrespectful.
Oh my god, that's right up his alley. That is such a... And the graphics hold up to this day. Like, it's just... Actually, in fact, thinking back, when you said we want to recommend springtime games, that was the one.
Why
do
we all recommend Okami HD? Get that
Okami
on
HD.
Any system. It's,
but it goes back into certain games over the years that we've recommended to each other. Billy's recommended Dragon Quest XI to me. It's one of my favorite games. You know, and you're like, no, you need to play this game. And then the same thing with me to Yakuza Like Dragon. Mm-hmm. I remember I was like, guys, you need to play this. Maze actually watched me play the first little bit because we were on Cape Cod together. I remember we were like, no, you need to play this. And then Yo-Kai Watch, I remember being like, guys, like you need to play. We all need to get Yo-Kai Watch too.
I remember Neon White. We were on the Cape with Neon
yeah,
White.
Billy, you were on my ass about Neon White. I played that and I was like, God damn, that's a good game. And there's certain games that we look at and we go, nah, it might not be. Like, for instance, games that I think are good games might not be a good game for you guys. Like, for instance, I might really like a game that I really like that I wouldn't recommend to you guys is Hitman 3. I love Hitman. I think that game's great, but Billy, knowing the type of games that you like, I would say, yeah, probably steer clear of that one, you know?
Yeah, I think, for example, like Voice of Cards is a great maze game. I think Maze, you will absolutely fucking love this game. Tim, I don't know. Like, it's one of those games that, like, it's very unique. It's I haven't played anything like it. It's one of a kind, and if you like card battler style games, it's fantastic. If you like JRPGs, it's fantastic. It's like a mix of both genres. So,
well, the fact still remains, Clay refuses to listen to us and has not played Yakuza, and in fact, I saw him earlier playing Ghost of Tsushima. Like, I don't know how he hasn't finished that yet.
No. I love him, but he plays...
He needs to finish that. That game is good.
No, he does. I just don't understand how he hasn't yet. Like,
I don't listen. Last Okami of Us,
like 15 times.
Okami is a sin.
Yeah, that is sinning. If you call yourself, I should text and say you're not allowed to buy Monster Hunter unless you finish Okami because you're not a true
Capcom.
I should say in the chat only true Capcom fans in this chat have beaten Okami.
Do we make an executive decision and bring Okami with us on the cruise and tell him he has to stay in the room at least 2 hours a day and play?
I'm literally gonna buy him that game. What, by the way, we were at PAX East and they had it there at that Japanese vendor, and I was like, that game is really good, and he's like, oh yeah, and then like we kept walking, I'm like, fuck, like
you're like, no, so close.
He's buying hentai. And I'm like, I was like,
oh, yeah. Well, waifu. It was waifu.
I'm sorry.
What a justification.
It was the second one. It was like waifu 2. And I was going,
Nothing wrong.
Like,
we're not, you know what? That guy is.
We're not judging.
We're not judging. And good for him. He's comfortable in his own skin that he's in public buying that type of game. And for me, I'd be a little bit more private about it. I'd probably be like, okay, I'm going to buy it digitally or buy it on Amazon. Yeah.
That's an online purchase. That's not a buy at a PAX East purchase.
That guy had confidence. That's pretty impressive.
Let's go with that. We'll call it that.
Let's call it confidence.
We'll call it confidence. Good call, Maze. Well, with that being said, you heard our recommendation.
Can I make one more update? You mentioned it, and I had to go look this up. So apparently, the Silk Song. Page on Xbox that is not fake. That is indeed real.
I love that. And that's the best part. That's the best.
But you know what the worst part is? There's still no fucking release date.
Exactly. I love that.
that's even worse.
You know what? Wouldn't shock me if it's I know. I also believe that game's day one on Game Pass. I could be wrong.
They speculate it. Well, we don't have confirmation, but people are hoping that it is with there being an Xbox page for it.
Well, I could be wrong, but I think Sarah Bond tweeted something regarding that being Game Pass, but
Who the fuck knows? This game has been in development for 5 years now. We've heard nothing. I just want the damn fucking game.
Well, I'll say this, guys. With that being said, you heard our recommendations. You heard Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, Shogun, the TV show. You heard Voice of Cards, and you also heard Slay the Spire. Not only that, Okami. We all recommend Okami. That game is like so good. That game is like borderline one of my favorite games of all time. That's Capcom's.
It's like top. It's in like the top 20. Best games.
Yeah, I think you might be able to say, hey, RE4 is better. Outside of that, it's at least in my eyes, it's my favorite Capcom game.
Bill, you spoke about like cozy games. That's like the king of cozy games. Like that's like one of those like very like chill games you can just like enjoy, and it's just like you don't even have to be there for the story. You're there for like the mechanics and just the art.
Yeah, you're there for the ride. Gorgeous. You're there for just enjoying it and the scenery. Sometimes I remember stopping in that game. It's one of those few games you stop and you just take in the artwork and you're just like, oh god.
You know, like, I just had a great idea, guys. You want to drop ass and play that game?
I think we
drop
should.
Ass and play that game.
Okay, I'm gonna go now.
So, I think we will adjourn. I'm also just reading because I was like looking up like best Capcom games of all time per Metacritic, just so that we're all aware here.
I bet you RE2 is right there.
RE4 is at the top. Devil May Cry is at number 2. Street Fighter 3 is at number 3.
Okay. I thought Street Fighter 2 would be there.
Yeah, RE4. Which edition? RE Code edition Veronica 4. Okami number 5. Beautiful Joe number 6.
Oh, hell
RE3 yeah. at number 7. Monster Hunter World at number 8. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 at number 9. This is just Metacritic. Mega Man X Legacy Collection, Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, Monster Hunter Rise, Power Stone, Ghost Trick, and then Zack and Wiki Quest for Barbario's Treasure, which I own, surprisingly. With that being said, I hope you all have a wonderful week. Game hard. Don't make any mistakes. Go play Okami. And with that, we'll talk to you later. Deuces.
Later, guys.
Later, everybody.